chapter 4. We've been making our way through this passage. We started talking about the first part of the chapter. The Lord has a desire to build his church, and he gives grace. That's what we started with. And then he gives leadership to follow. And then he has a plan that he makes, he works in our lives, and he drives us all together and helps us to grow into the head. And the head is Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is the boss. He really is. We are not. And the more that we are connected to him and follow him, then we really can be what we ought to be and want to be for the Lord. And then we talked about in verse 17 and following, not walking in the emptiness of our old mindset, which was the Gentile mindset. Remember all the characteristics that we listed out, that they were past feeling and they were dead to the Lord, and they were past life and all the different things. And then we came in verse 20, if we're walking like that, you didn't learn it from Christ. You did not learn that kind of living from Christ. And you look in the churches around the world, around America, that are living, that are a worldly type of a worship, they did not learn that at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. And listen, human reasoning says, let's appeal to the unsaved by being Gentile-like. You didn't learn that from Christ. And so he deals with this. And he says in verse 21, if so be you have heard him, you've been taught by him, and the truth is in you. And that truth is what we're talking about, the truth of Jesus Christ. And then we talked about, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former man, which is corrupt. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your, and then that's a four-word, another word, mind, your nous in the Greek. That we, very similar who we are, we've got to be reprogrammed, renewed. And the way that we're renewed by the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God rewrite our spiritual program, and then after the image of Christ. Verse 24, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not this fake holiness, true holiness. So we're going to follow the Lord like that. Verse 25, he talks about some things to take off again. Wherefore, put away lying. We dealt with that quite strongly. Speak every man truth to his brother. So we're going to be honest with each other. And I hope that you have thought about when you're approaching things, sometimes it's easy to make an excuse. Well, I lied to make them feel better. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. We've got to learn to be honest with each other. And then it says, verse 26, be angry and sin not. And talk to them, not let the sun go down on your wrath. And don't let it set, because, why? Verse 27, it gives a place to the devil. When we don't deal with, like we preached on Sunday morning, unforgiveness and anger, it opens up the door. It makes a chink or a wide open spot where the devil can run right through into our church or into our lives. So we're to be angry but not allow ourselves to let the sun, sin not, let the sun go down in our wrath. Verse 28, used to steal, learn to work so that you have something to give people that have need. Now we're in verse 29 and the verses following. We'll pick up there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt there is the word rotten. Don't let any rotten communication or garbage communication or corrupted communication. Corrupt communication doesn't get the job done. If you're trying to make a connection electronically and it's a corrupted signal, it gives a wrong signal. And the world knows what kind of mouth we should have. The world knows how we should proceed. And it knows when we're talking and those gray lies, it knows when we're talking little dirty stories, it knows when we're talking angry. We're not to let any rotten stuff come out of this thing right here in the front of our face. Truthfully, we said last week, it's rooted in a problem down a little deeper, right down here. So we got to be careful to not let corruption idea of corrupt communication, and we're going to hopefully touch back on that. Look, if you will, please, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word proceed means to pour out of your mouth. So I'm not to allow things to come out of my mouth. David said it this way, Lord, put a guard by my lips. Lord, put an angel right here. Let the Holy Spirit remind me when I start to talk that I would know that my mouth is not speaking righteousness. Stuff is pouring out and I should shut the valve off. You know, truthfully, when we're walking like we should and some of that garbage wants to come out of our mouth, the Holy Spirit does touch our conscience. Times we go right past it. Lord, help me to be sensitive that when I'm not doing right with my mouth and my communications, that I would do right. I was talking to our teacher who's going to do some work in teaching communication in computer this year. We talked about one of the things I would like to see us cover is a whole area on what is right kind of etiquette on email. Now, I have to admit, when I first, several years ago, somebody sent me something that said at the end, LOL, I said, I didn't understand. You know, laugh out loud, I had no idea, all that kind of stuff. The smiley faces and stuff began to show up, and all those kind of things. But one day, I was just trying to emphasize something. Remember I sent them, and I think I put it in bold and all caps. And one of them said back, quit shouting. I didn't know you could shout electronically. So I thought it would be a very good thing if probably the teenagers could teach us on this communication. But, you know, Christians, we get corrupt in communication. And maybe we're right. Right words, saying the right things, the wrong way, the wrong time, a lot of different stuff like that. We have to learn to be sensitive. And we need to speak like Christ. Let's go on. Read it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, stop it. It's welling up in your mouth, stop it. Some came out, stop it. Don't let it go any further. But understood, what is to proceed out of your mouth? That which is good. And there's two words for good. This word is the idea of morally good. That which is characterized by its character as being morally right. I'm not supposed to cuss. I'm not supposed to cuss people out and swear. When I was a teenager, I remember my pastor teaching us about minced oaths. We don't have down here very much. My mother-in-law, one of her favorite pies was minced meat. Do you hear like minced meat? Anybody even know what minced meat pie is? Okay, not many, okay. I thought, is the pastor talking about minced meat pie? I had no idea what he was talking about. Minced oaths are words that can be taken two ways. And a lot of times we call them Christian euphemisms for swear words. Instead of saying the whole swear word, we cut it in half. I'll give you just a couple because I don't want to put them in your mind. But instead of saying a whole lot of things with, like something we'd say, oh bull, there's obviously another thing that usually goes with that. So we said, I don't want to go there. So I say, oh, baloney. We come up right on the edge of saying it. But people generally get the idea that we were sort of thinking the other. That's called a minced oath. That's a mixed oath. Something that has a wrong character to it. I remember teaching sixth grade and talking about minced oaths 100 years ago. And one of the big things people say, oh, God. We might as well put a D on it. We just don't quite say it. Gosh, golly, God, taking God's name as close as we can, but we didn't say God. It's a minced oath. And I thought when I first heard that, maybe you have this reaction. Man, they just, I mean, what do you get to say? That's so picky. But I found as I grew in the Lord that it really offends people. If I got up tonight and I said, oh golly God, oh bull, and I was preaching, forget what I was preaching on. That's all people could hear then, especially if they were not saved. Corrupted communication out of my mouth. My communication needs to be good in its very character. Only that which is good should proceed out of my mouth. Now, I thought I'd got my mouth all cleaned up. My wife and I, after we got married, we got back from our honeymoon, and I said a word. I'm not going to say it tonight. My family had always said it, and when I said that word, my wife went, oh! I said, what? And she said, what did you just say? I said it again. You said it again. Well, in my mind, I'd never thought of it happening. Honestly, never thought of it happening. But you know, at that point, I realized that word had another side. From that day to this, I tried to cut it out of my vocabulary. I wasn't going to have somebody say it to me as I preached or as I was out somewhere. They were focused. I wanted my words to be healthy. So can I just suggest to you, maybe teenagers, maybe you come from a place and you're at work and some of those words sort of, you hear them all day long and you come home, it's easy for them to pop out of your mouth. Am I right? Work on the character of the words. Corruption out of your mouth. The Lord says, make it healthy in character. That which proceeds out of your mouth, notice it says, to the use of edification. In other words, my words should be building words, not tearing down words. And if we go on in verse 30 and 31, we're going to see there's a lot of things people do to hurt each other and be nasty to each other. They are not being used to build, they're being used to assassinate, strip down somebody's personality, get an edge on them, step on them, stick them in the eye, not to the use of edification. Can I say, men, when we get angry and we tear our wife down, say things about her. That's not to the use of edification. When we get upset with one of our children, that's not edification. We need to go back, and we could go a lot further than that, could we not? We need to look at our words, that they are grace-filled words, that they are healthy in character. Could you imagine if one of the students, second grade, third grade, came home, and they walked home, they said, how'd it go today? Well, my teacher, and they talked about how mean character they were, and called the kids names all day. I probably had a phone call by then. You know, we as Christians, we don't have to be a school teacher. We don't have to be a pastor. We don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. We don't have to be a bus captain or a deacon. We're Christian. Our words should be used for Christian. And I sold this to the teachers during our teacher inserts. You can usually tell if your words are not building people up, because all of a sudden the person you talk to, you can see it reflected in their eyeballs, and their face begins to fall. Sometimes we want to pray. That's exactly what we want to do. That's not what God's doing. We need to hold ourselves to that accountability, to the use of edification, that it may minister grace. That grace-filled words. You might have to talk about something even that's difficult, but it's approached with a graciousness. I'm sorry that I have to talk to you about this, as opposed to, I'm going to talk to you about this. The use of education, that it may minister, edify, grace in their life. There are certain, over the years, places that are a little more difficult to go visit because they have dogs in the yard. We had a man in our church and his wife. They had two huge dogs. They're Rottweilers. Funnest people in our church. Nobody wanted to go to the house. One night we had an afternoon. All the kids, are the dogs going to be there? Because our dogs had a reputation. And they said, oh, we'll have them tied up. So we got to the afterglow, and they had them tied up in the kitchen. And that, I mean, every time we played a game, people were just, next thing you know, we were playing some game, and the refrigerator that they were tied up with was in the living room. Pastor Butts, can I suggest that we don't have another afterglow? People, although they like them, they just like to meet the Nixons elsewhere. Dogs are like that. If a dog gets a reputation of being like, people don't like them. I've been bitten by dogs twice in a while. It hurts. I still can feel it. They've got me in the same place. Going with us. I've been bitten by people. Only it didn't break the skin, broke the heart. Probably can raise both hands to that one. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand to this one. Have you ever been bitten? Have you ever bitten anybody in love? Have you ever been a Christian? I did because I wanted to. I can remember when I was first dealing with cussing. I didn't think I could stop cussing because my unsaved dad literally did not say a sentence without a swear word. I made the excuse in my heart, in my brain, that I couldn't help myself. It was programmed in. I went on like that for a couple of years, being convicted. But I was making excuses for myself. One Sunday night, after an evening service, we weren't supposed to, but we were running around. That doesn't happen at our church. We were running around in the churchyard, and we were playing a game where we were playing wood tag, where you had to go up to the tree, and as long as you're touching wood, you're safe. Somebody comes up, says one, two, three, then you can get free and go elsewhere. And it was dark out, and then somebody said one, two, three, and we all had to go. And I turned, and another person went, just like that, straight forehead to forehead. And when they did, I told them my spiritual vocabulary. It wasn't very spiritual. And I'll never forget, I can see it just like I'm standing in that yard tonight. As soon as those words came out of my mouth, everybody, all my friends went, oh! And that was before the movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I wish I could have just gone down to the grass. And you know what? That was the day I stopped swimming. I finally got loaded. Guess what? I could stop. Well, they pushed my button. You don't live with my kids. You don't have my boss, my husband, my wife. It's not what goes in that causes the problem. It's what's coming out that's the problem, the Bible says. I think when we are thinking, we would all say amen. But when we are in a circumstance, we don't know what to do. Circumstances only reveal care. They don't reveal care. So, God challenges us. Deal with our words. But God, if you will, in verse 30, he goes on with this. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The word grieve there just literally means make him very sad. Somebody's grieving. Somebody died. We understand that word grieve, right? They're sad. Here is the Holy Ghost. I want you to get the idea of the Holy Spirit here. He is in our life, where we know in 1 Corinthians, he dwells in our heart. You can't take the Holy Spirit off and put him on like you do your shoes. He's with us until the day of redemption, until we go and stand before God. We're sealed to that day when we're adopted in God's family. Now, officially, he's with us. He's the guarantee. He's the earnest of our salvation. Bitterness. Let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all of your speaking be put away. And that idea is to throw it away. Cast it away. Be put away from us. Christian, I think the truth is not that we, none of us here have never done it or don't. It's whether we're dealing with it and being honest with us. Let all bitterness. Bitterness has the idea of acidity. If you are out working on your car and you took a little brake fluid, the brake fluid then flowed down over your hand and over your watch, do you know what you would do real quick? You'd go get it washed off. Etches its way. If the battery, some of the acid got on your hand, you go ahead and wash it real quick. I think sometimes we have to go real quick because some of the acid came out of someone's mouth. We got to go have our devotion and say, really, I've poured acid on us. So get rid of all acid type words, these bitter words. And then these words, I'm not going to take the time to define all of them. But they crescendo. You look at it. There's this bitterness, this acidness in my heart. And then it turns into a wrath, sort of a turning, an angriness that comes next. So bitter spirit in my heart, like a bitter acid, like reflex. It's starting to build up in my stomach. Can you see? It's starting to come. I'm feeling sick. The anger comes. The clamor is words. Just not a lot of words. Clamor. Just saying stuff and arguing. Bitter, angry, clamoring. It's called an evil speaker. The word evil is put in contraposition to the word good. Agathos and Kakia. They're two. They both are talking about moral. put on the good communications, get rid of the evil, get them gone. Put them away from you with all malice. The word malice is the idea that you've got an agenda in your mouth, in your spirit. In other words, it didn't. If you did a crime, you probably could have to pay for it no matter what. If you're trying to do it, figure out if you did it on the spur of the moment or whether it was malice. This verse is premeditated garbage. Get it? This is preventable. It started with that bitterness, that anger, that wrath. Garbage. Bad. Sunday morning, one of the first things I said about forgiveness, if you're at the altar, what did it say? I'm at the altar with my gift. The Holy Spirit says to me something, what am I supposed to do? Leave it there, go make it right with the person, because this is where it goes. Right on this road. Pretty soon we can't even think of it. It's just going to come right out. It didn't take anything to push our button. We look at them, we get mad. They look at us and we get mad. Let's hear their name and we get mad. Put it away. Put it away from ourselves. It grieves the Holy Ghost. The one that lives in our heart is very, just brokenhearted about it. But what are we supposed to do in verse 32? Be kind one to another, tender heart of forgiving one. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The idea there is get rid of the premeditation by forgiving. Get rid of the acid, bitter root by bringing it to Jesus. Be kind. Tender-hearted is compassionate. This person in verse 31 is not compassionate. They're hard-hearted and can care less about them. But instead, I've learned to be kind to them, tender-hearted. I've tried to save all kinds. You see the difference? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's unfortunate that we have a chapter break, because I think the next two verses are very important. Be ye there. Can I give you the Greek word for followers of God? Imitos. Can you figure out what that word means? Imitators. You didn't learn that from any place else but your old flesh. Be an imitator of God, not the old nature. Be therefore an imitator of God. Be a follower of God. And then he says, as dear children. You know that word dear is the same word agapao. We talk about three kinds of love. There's agapao love as beloved children. God loves his children that learn to walk in love, that deal with this kind of stuff in their life as dear children. Parents, if your kids ever argue, are they dear children when they're arguing? Spirit is grieved when he sees his people in the church split right down the middle. If I could ask, you ever been through a church split? It was horrible. Friends on each side of an issue. People that you thought would never be separated are never going to talk. Same mean things. beloved child learns to walk loving. Well, that's the opposite of verse 31 in the chapter. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. But learn to walk in love. Don't make excuses. That's not how Jesus dealt with the people putting him on the cross. Walk in love even as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This is the word I wanted to get to end the message. Christ, in the way that he was as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, and he answered not as accusers, and he did all this stuff. We admire it, amen? And God said, my son, my beloved son, you're a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Now let's go back to what I told you earlier. Verse 29. Let no rotten communication. Sweet-smelling or rotten skin? They stand right next to you, just like that. You ever been around somebody that really bad? Open my mouth. Oh, somebody give them like a whole package of lifesavers, please. You know, this is really bad. They just all got problems. Some people have such sweet smelling breath that they on, but especially deal with your lying, deal with your anger that goes overnight. Work, learn to work, and then he comes back. Work on your mind. Work on that bitterness. Learn to be a dear child of God in the sweet smell. Surprising them when we're out of control and we find something.